Hassan is a fictional character, but what they went through is happening across East of England today. This is their story. In Stevenage, qualified doctors cannot access NHS training places while wards struggle with staff shortages. The expertise exists, the need is overwhelming, but the connection between them has been severed by Treasury spending limits that treat public investment as a cost rather than the pathway to care. Hassan's voice picks up the story.
I became a doctor because of my grandmother. She lived with us in Luton after my grandfather died, and getting her GP appointments became harder every year. The receptionist would apologize, the waits grew longer, and I watched her health deteriorate while she sat in our front room, too proud to complain. My parents had sacrificed everything to get me through school, Dad working 16-hour days in the corner shop, Mum taking night shifts cleaning offices. When I got into Cambridge to study medicine, it felt like their dreams and mine had aligned. I would serve communities like ours, places where people understood what it meant to wait, to worry, to need care that felt increasingly out of reach. Graduating in 2019 felt like the beginning. I moved to Stevenage to be closer to my aging parents and applied for GP training through Health Education England, East of England. The assessment process was rigorous: written exams, practical stations, interviews that tested everything from clinical knowledge to communication skills. I scored in the top quartile across all measures. Walking out of the interview center, I felt ready to begin the work I had trained for. The rejection letter arrived 3 weeks later. Standard format, polite language, devastating content. I called the program office immediately. The coordinator was sympathetic but clear. We had 340 qualified applicants this year. We only have 180 training places available. When I asked why, she connected me to the program director, Dr. Sarah Matthews. The Treasury has capped our training budget, she explained, her voice carrying a weariness that suggested she had given this explanation many times before. We simply cannot afford to fund more places. I took a temporary role as a locum at Lister Hospital while preparing to reapply. The wards were understaffed, consultants were covering multiple sites, and junior doctors were working beyond safe limits. Everyone knew we needed more GPs, more specialists, more of everything. The irony was not lost on me. I was providing cover for the very roles I was being told there was no money to train me for properly. The second rejection came in 2021. Same process, same scores, same result. Funding constraints, the letter explained. I had heard those words so often they had begun to sound like a law of physics rather than a policy choice. Walking back from the hospital one afternoon, I passed the Hertfordshire GP Training Centre. I had driven past it countless times, but that day I noticed how empty the car park looked. The building was clearly operational. Lights were on, people were coming and going, but something felt off about the scale of activity. I decided to go inside. The receptionist was friendly, happy to chat during a quiet moment. We have capacity for about 50 more trainees, she mentioned when I explained my situation. The facilities are there, the teaching staff are available, but the money just isn't there. She gestured toward a corridor lined with empty classrooms. It's frustrating for everyone. We know the need is there. That conversation changed something for me. I started asking different questions. I reached out to my Cambridge classmates, the ones I had trained alongside, shared test books with, struggled through exams beside. The pattern was stark. James was working in Australia. Priya had joined a private practice in London. Mohammed was considering a move to Canada. All of them qualified. All of them wanting to work in the NHS. All of them blocked by the same funding constraints I had faced. I learned that Monica in Ipswich had hit identical barriers trying to get into nursing training. Same region, same system, same excuse. The people existed. The need existed. The training infrastructure existed. What did not exist, apparently, was the will to connect them. I used to accept the explanation that there was no money. It sounded reasonable. Responsible even. Budgets are finite, resources must be allocated carefully, tough choices must be made, everyone accepts it because it sounds like common sense. But walking past those empty classrooms changed my perspective. I started to see the contradiction everywhere. The government that issues the pound was telling me it could not find enough pounds to train the doctors and nurses standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed. They did. whether the skills could be taught, they could, whether the materials and facilities were available, they were. The excuse was not a fact, it was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It operates on the logic of a household budget, except households do not issue their own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it most. I see it clearly now. Every time someone said there is no funding, they were applying household logic to a currency issuer. The Treasury was treating public investment like a cost to be minimized, rather than the mechanism by which trained doctors reach the wards that desperately need them. The constraint was never fiscal, it was political. I am still here, still working as a locum, still watching. But I understand something now that I did not understand when I first applied for training. This is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where qualified people and urgent needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster insists the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never empty. It was locked by choice. And that choice has a name, a department, and a rationale that crumbles the moment you remember who issues the currency in the first place.
What Hassan experienced has a name: impossible expectations. This technique demands a guarantee of zero waste or perfect outcomes before committing a single pound to public investment. It works like this. Imagine someone refusing to water their garden because they cannot guarantee that every drop will reach the roots and none will evaporate. The standard is impossibly high, designed to justify inaction. Historically, tobacco companies used this technique for decades, demanding absolute proof that smoking caused cancer, while knowing that such proof was methodologically impossible to provide. They set the bar so high that no evidence could ever clear it. In Hassan's story, the same logic operated. Health Education England demanded perfect certainty about training outcomes while applying no such standard to tax cuts or bank bailouts. Hassan scored in the top quartile, the facilities existed, the need was overwhelming, but someone, somewhere, insisted this was not enough guarantee to justify the spending. The austerity objection here is always the same. The NHS is a bottomless pit. We cannot keep throwing money at it. This objection is wrong because no service is bottomless. NHS costs are measurable, and the UK spends less per capita on health than France, Germany, or the Netherlands. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources. People, skills, materials, time. In Hassan's case, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Stevenage ranks 253 out of 543 English constituencies on the Deprivation Index, placing it in decile 5. English Indices of Deprivation 2025, MHCLG. The constituency has 3,188 registered charities, Charity Commission Register. Total grants received amount to £39.1 million, 360 giving grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.